What's good? What's good? I'm back. Yours truly, one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, aka Triple P, aka the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. It's April 5th, 2023. Got a bunch of NBA games to go over. The NBA season is literally up Saturday. Saturday is the last games being played for the NBA. And whatnot. We got a bunch of games to go over. Let's go ahead and start pulling up a few of these games. We got Toronto versus my Charlotte Hornets. Thank God my Charlotte Hornets didn't win this game because we're supposed to be in the Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes or the Scoot Henderson sweepstakes, but we got Spank 120. To 100, which we should. 22 from Pascal Siakam, OG Anobi 17, 16 from Fred VanVleet, and 21 from Chris Boucher. And Charlotte was well balanced, but none of these cats have played like really all year long. Everybody who started for Charlotte last night is bench players. Bryce McAllen's gave you 20. 13 from JT Thor, 18 from Nick Richards, along with 11 rebounds, 17 and 7 for Savai Makaluku. Can't pronounce that name, man. And Theo Maladin got 13 with 11 assists, but it doesn't give me any hope for my Charlotte Hornets' future right now. None at all. Zero. Miami played Detroit. Miami beat Detroit 117. No, my bad. That's not the score. It's 118 to 105. Jimmy Butler gave us 27 points, 8 rebounds, 18 from Bam Adebayo, 18 from Tyler Hero, and 22 from Gabe Vincent. I was talking to a friend yesterday. We were talking about Damian Lillard. And if he was to leave Portland, where should he go? Miami Heat, Damian Lillard, Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, and Jimmy Butler. I like that odds, especially if they're healthy. Cleveland Cavs played the Orlando Magic, beating 117 to 113. We got 14 out of Evan Mobley, 12 out of Jared Allen. Donovan Mitchell gave you 43 as usual, and 16 and 10 assists from Darius Garland and 19 from Caris LeVert off the bench. Orlando Magic, 17 from Franz Wagner, 20 from Paolo Banchero with 10 rebounds, 17 points and 12 rebounds from Wendell Carter Jr., 23 from Markel Fultz, along with 8 assists. And Ben Simmons can take a page, or needs to take a page out of the Markel Fultz book and get over that weak mindset that he's in. Because I'm with Kevin Garnett, man. He's going to have to figure it out on his own, man. Ain't nobody going to coddle him and hold his hand anymore. Those days are done. The Bucks beat the Washington Wizards 140 to 128. Jay Crowder gave you 19. 28 from Giannis, along with 10 assists and 11 rebounds, triple-double, and 2 steals and 1 block. He had 8 turnovers, but he was still plus 18. 20 from Brook Lopez, who had 0 rebounds. What the hell? How the hell did Brook Lopez have 0 rebounds? 26 from Jrue Holiday with 10 assists and 9 rebounds. He almost had a triple-double. You had two players almost had a 25-point triple-double. Joe Ingles gave you 12 and 19 from Bobby Portis with 20 rebounds. No wonder Brook Lopez didn't get no rebounds, because Bobby Portis got all the rebounds last night with 19 and 20. That, man, the Bucks are going to be scary come playoff time, man. I don't know if I would bet against the Bucks, man. I don't know if I would bet against the Bucks. Minnesota Timberwolves beat the Brooklyn Nets 107 to 102. Jaden McDaniels gave you 15. Karl-Anthony Towns gave you 22 with 14 rebounds. Rudy Gobert gave you 12 points, 12 rebounds. And that's all you should expect out of him. 23 from Anthony Edwards and 18 from Mike Conley. And the Nets, Cameron Johnson gave you 14. Big up to that former Tar Heel right there. Dorian Finney-Smith gave you 14 and 10. Dallas is definitely missing him. 24 from Mikal Bridges and 30 from Spencer Dinwiddie. And I got to check Mikal Bridges' score average because I predicted he'll get to 20.5 by the end of the season. He's at 20.3 right now. And my first prediction was he would get to 20 points a game because he was literally at like 15, 16 a game when he came over to the Nets in that trade for Kyrie Irving. And now he's up at 20.3 a game. That's crazy. That's crazy. Mikal Bridges, best thing that ever happened to him was getting traded to the Brooklyn Nets. Okay, what other games we got to pull up here? We got a lot more to go through. Boston played Philly, and Philly won 103-105 thanks to Joel Embiid's 52 points. Oh, man. See, this is why the MVP race is so tough right now. It's so tough because Joel Embiid comes and beats Boston off of 50.2 wing dinner. As Kendrick Perkins like to say, he put up a 52-piece wing dinner. Let's go over the stat. Jason Tatum gave you 19, 10 from Grant Williams, 11 from Al Horford, 17 from Marcus Smart. Derek White gave you 26, 18 from Malcolm Brogdon. Before I go any further, I'm not taking much from this game. I'm not taking much from this win. Why am I not taking much from this win? Who didn't play for Boston? Jaylen Brown. 25 points a game, didn't play last night. And Sixers only won by two. I'm not taking much from this game. This is why I want the Sixers to come out the East. But I'm not sold. Because you only won by 2 points and Jaylen Brown didn't play. And everybody for the Sixers played. You got and nobody else from the Sixers did much of anything but James Harden. You got 5 from Tobias Harris, 11 from P.J. Tucker, who normally is only scoring 5 points a game. 52. You needed 52 points from Joel Embiid to have a chance even winning this game. Along with 13 rebounds and 6 assists, he had the second most assists behind James Harden. Tyrese Maxey only had 5 points and 1 assist. James Harden put up a 20 and 10. But that's not going to be enough come playoff time. Not if Jaylen Brown's playing. I'm sorry. It is not going to be enough. I'm sorry, Philly, but y'all might not be coming out the East. Hawks beat the Bulls 123-105. Sadiq Bey gave you 18. 13 from Clint Capella along with 14 rebounds. 26 from Bogdan Bogdanovich. And DeJounte Murray gave you 17. Trey Young didn't play. And you also got 16 from Jalen Johnson off the bench. Chicago Bulls, you got 21 from DeMar DeRozan, 26 from Zach LaVine, 19 from Nikola Vucevic, who gave you 19 and 10 rebounds. And Patrick Beverley gave you 11 and 15 from Patrick Williams. Denver... Before I look into this box score, let me take a sip. Denver lost 124-103. I'm betting, before I look at this box score, Michael Porter Jr. didn't play. Jamal Murray didn't play. Jokic didn't play. The Joker didn't play. Maybe Aaron Gordon probably didn't play. Kartavius. I'm guessing 4 or 5 of the starters didn't play. All right, let's get into it. Oh, and I'm wrong. I'm so wrong. Wow. The Nuggets just really had a bad game. It looked like Porter Jr. gave you 13. 23. Aaron Gordon gave you 13 with 9 rebounds. 14 and 10 from Joker. Jamal Murray had 2 points. He only played 9 minutes. Let's hope he didn't get hurt. Well, Rockets prevented the Nuggets from clinching a number one seed in the West as of right now. The Rockets, you had 12 from Kenyon Martin Jr. Jabari Smith gave you 16 and 13, 20 and 10 from Alperen Sengun, 32 from Jalen Green, and 20 with 9 assists from Kevin Porter Jr. And you also got 22 points off the bench as well. And at this point, like, the Rockets, they're not – like, those young cats are just playing to get experience and get better. But if I had to say, based on this Nuggets loss, the Sixers win and the Bucks win, I think if I had to pick MVP right now, like who I say deserves MVP, I would probably have to go with Giannis. I'd probably have to go with Giannis again. I'd like to see Embiid win it. I'd like to see Embiid win it, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be, like, really close. Really, really close. And still got a few games to go through. Portland beat Memphis. Or Memphis beat Portland. Oh, man. Ja Morant, I got to go back. I got to look at this highlight. It looked like Ja Morant had a nice little highlight dunk right there. Shaedon Sharpe gave you 20 and 24 from Skylar Mars. Shaedon Sharpe definitely get a lot of minutes right now. A lot of good PT right now going into next year. Luke Kennard gave you 20 from Memphis, 17 from Jaren Jackson, 30 from Desmond Bane, 23 from Ja Morant with 9 assists. And you got 8 points and 11 rebounds off the bench from Sandy Aiyama. Steven Adams still ain't playing. Brandon Clark didn't play. Dylan Brooks didn't play. But I expect Memphis to be fully healthy come playoff time. The Kings beat the Pelicans 121-103. Kings secure first Pacific title since 2002-2003. Shouts out to the Sacramento Kings, man. Last year, everybody was shitting on the Tyrese Halliburton trade for Domantas Sabonis. I got Domantas Sabonis fifth in the MVP race right now, as far as I'm concerned. Nobody's really talking about him like that, but the dude is averaging 17, 12, 19 points, 12 rebounds, and like 7 assists a game. Crazy, ridiculous numbers. They're very efficient. Kings have literally, they're the number 3 seed in the West. Ben High is number 2. And it's mainly because of Sabonis trade and picking up Kevin Huerter. But Sabonis is the backbone, man. Harrison Barnes, shout out to that Tar Heel Heat, former Tar Heel, 16 points. 21 from Keegan Murray. 16, 11 assists, and 12 rebounds from Domantas Sabonis. I mean, what am I – triple-double machine, man. Kevin Huerter gave you 11 and 23 from De'Aaron Fox with 9 assists. It's 17 from Malik Monk. I mean, they're going to be interesting playoff time. Even though I'm not really sold, if they could do what they do come playoff time, they could win a series. But they're going to need Malik Monk to come off the bench and put up at least a good 15 to 17. Pelicans, you got 22 from Brandon Ingram, 13 from Jonas Valanciunas, and nobody really else. Just 11s and 12s after that. CJ McCollum gave me 12. That's not enough. Pelicans definitely need Zion. Lakers beat the Utah Jazz 135-133. 37 from LeBron with 6 assists, 5 rebounds. Anthony Davis gave you 21, 6 assists, 14 rebounds with 2 steals, 2 blocks. Even though he didn't score as much as usual, Anthony Davis is still he's engaged. As long as he's engaged on defense and rebounding, they're going to have a chance because Austin Reeves put up a 28 and 6 assists. 18 from Dennis Schroeder. D'Angelo Russell didn't play, but Rui Huchamaro gave you 17 points off the bench as well. And I will say this, Lakers are a better squad now that they got rid of Russell Westbrook, traded for those pieces. They're a lot better squad. They're way more efficient, way better shooting team. And then it opened up for Austin Reeves to be able to do what he's doing. Because if they still got Westbrook coming off the bench, then Austin Reeves is coming up after him. You know, because it's like, and that's the thing, when you start paying somebody so much money, they're always, when somebody's making, you know, 30, 40 million a year, they're always going to feel entitled to get a certain amount of playing time. Even Ben Simmons probably feels entitled to get a certain amount of playing time. And you want to you know how much playing time Ben Simmons deserves? Zero! Zero! Nada! Let's get into Utah. 23 from Kelly Olynyk. 22 from Ochai Agbaji. 23 from Tatum Horton-Tucker, who's definitely been playing a lot better towards the end of the season. Tatum Horton-Tucker probably will be looking a lot better going into the next season, even though his player time might diminish because you got Colin Sexton, who should be coming back, and Jordan Clarkson ain't playing as well. All right, we got two more games to pull up. OKC versus Golden State, and Golden State won, which they needed to, because if not, they were going to fall into the play-in tournament, and either the Lakers or the T-Wolves were going to – the Lakers or the Pelicans were going to fall into, like, the sixth seed. Lou Dort gave you 17-19 from Jalen Williams, who's Rookie of the Year runner-up, 15 from Josh Giddey, 32 from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. This is the thing, too, that people got to realize about OKC going forward. They got runner-up for Rookie of the Year this year in Jalen Williams, who was drafted later in the behind Chet Holmgren. So we don't know if Chet Holmgren would have been possibly Rookie of the Year or runner-up of Rookie of the Year, which means that OKC could have possibly had either the Rookie of the Year and the double runner-up for Rookie of the Year, or they could have had the runner-up for Rookie of the Year and the double runner-up for Rookie of the Year. They could have literally had two of the top three rookies, and we don't know yet because we got to see what Chet Holmgren's going to be. Golden State, you got 30 from Jordan Poole, 34 from Curry, 17 from Draymond Green with 9 rebounds, and 16 from Dante DiVincenzo, and Moses Moody gave you 13 as well. Kevin Looney came off the bench and gave you 11 rebounds. And last game, last but not least, Suns beat the Spurs 115-94, as should 21 from Malachi Abraham and 20 from Trey Jones. Nobody else really did much after that. 18 from Kevin Durant, 19 from DeAndre Ayton, 27 from Booker, 22 from Chris Paul, and Ayton also had 11 rebounds. Of course, Chris Paul, he had 2 assists because it was a scoring night for him. Because Torrey Craig, he put up 15 and 10 off the bench. Torrey Craig gave you a double-double off the bench. I mean, like, who does that? A double-double off the bench. That doesn't happen too often. Of course, Bobby Portis did it earlier with the 19 and 20. Let's go into the standings. Let's see if the standings have changed any. Lakers are still at that 7th seed. Golden State's moved up to that 5 seed. And that's the thing. Lakers have to play the Clippers still. If the Lakers beat the Lakers can move into that 6th seed. And the Clippers will fall into that play-in tournament. Yep. So that's going to be interesting when the Lakers play the Clippers. If the Lakers, because the Lakers, I think they still got to play the Suns too, but the odds of them winning 3 of their last 4 was like 50%, I think it was. So it's possible they could beat the Clippers and fall into that sixth seed. If they fall into that sixth seed, then they'll end up playing Sacramento. And I've said I'm not sold on Sacramento because of playoff experience. Keegan Murray doesn't have much playoff experience. De'Aaron Fox has zero playoff experience. Domantas Sabonis has a little bit. Not a lot of playoff experience over there. Can a healthy Lakers beat the Kings in the first round? Yes. Yes. Most definitely that can happen. Most definitely that can happen. And the more I look in the East, it's between Milwaukee and Boston. I don't know if I could bet any money on the Sixers, man. I don't know if I'm willing to make that bet because I'm not, not in the business of losing money. Elway no longer. I'm going to NFL real quick. See if there's anything newsworthy. Elway's no longer with Broncos after contract expires. I hear a lot of people talk about the Panthers, who they're going to take number one. From what I'm hearing, man, that they're taking Bryce Young. People need to stop falling into this trap of we got to pick the most athletic quarterback. The most athletic quarterbacks are never the greatest quarterbacks. They are never the very best quarterbacks. I'm talking about like freak athletes, just these guys that are like Cam Newtons, 6'5", can run the ball down your throat, can run you over, freakish athlete at the quarterback position. No, like pocket passers. We have yet to see a dominant running quarterback win a Super Bowl. It is yet to be done. And this is why I believe that a dominant running quarterback has yet to win a Super Bowl. It's because when they're down, when quarterbacks like that are down 14, 21 points, you can't just run the ball up the field. On a comeback, you got to go for long plays. You got to get a 40, 50-yard pass up the field. You know, you got to get a real – you got to get up the field quick and score quick. When you run the ball, you're killing clock. It takes time – kills the clock. It takes too much time off the clock. That's why dominant running quarterbacks have yet to prove that they can win Super Bowls. Because they can't come back when they're down 14 to 21 points. You can't just run the ball down somebody's throat when you're down 21 points and score just that quick. Unless you're going to get a big old 50, 60-yard rush. And quarterbacks ain't doing that every day. They're just not getting 50, 60-yard rushes like that every day. You know, we got to apply, you know, I know people always want to talk about expert opinions. You never have an expert opinion if you're not applying common sense and common knowledge to things. And most of these expert opinions never apply common sense or common knowledge to this. They're just thinking too much. Oh, let's go for CJ Stroud because he's taller. He's more athletic. But is he better? Is he a better quarterback? Because I can tell you what, man, Doug Flutie was a small dude, and he was a far better quarterback than Jim McMahon. They both played for the Bears, but Doug Flutie had a short stint with the Bears. Like, Patrick Mahomes isn't like super tall, you know? Like, Patrick Mahomes isn't like the super-duper speed freak, you know? Patrick Mahomes is a pocket passer first. If you want to win a Super Bowl as a quarterback, you got to be kind of like 60% passing and maybe 40% running. or 70% passing, 30% running. 80-20, 80% passing, 20. This idea that you could be 50-50, pass 50% passing and 50% running, or you could be 60% running and 40% passing, which Lamar Jackson is. Would I like to see Lamar Jackson win a Super Bowl? Yeah, but have we yet to see a dominant – Cam Newton was a dominant running quarterback. Did Cam Newton win a Super Bowl? No. As soon as he got sacked one time by Von Miller, he crumbled under the pressure. Cam Newton crumbled under the pressure from one sack. One play, he crumbled under the pressure through the whole Super Bowl. Anybody that says he didn't, you didn't watch the Super Bowl. He crumbled under the pressure. It was the defense that kicked Carolina in that game. The defense, I mean, damn, the defense earned their money. Like, because Cam Newton crumbled under pressure. We've yet to see these freak athletic quarterbacks win. Even that white dude that's coming in, like the, I forgot his name, Will something. What was it? Yeah, Will Levis. This dude is... He looks like a bodybuilder. We ain't seen a bodybuilder quarterback win no Super Bowls. Let's pump the brakes, man. You still got to be elite pocket passer. You still got to, I mean, whatchamacallit, the Rams when they won. Well, that old boy, Matthew Stafford, is a 90% pocket passer and 10% running. Probably 100% pocket passer and 0% running. He probably runs less than Tom Brady, you know. I understand people want to reinvent the wheel, try to reinvent the game, but it doesn't work that way. Until it actually works, you can't reinvent things until they actually work, you know. And if I'm Carolina, I want to pick the best quarterback. And as a Carolina Panthers fan, I want us to pick the best quarterback. And if Bryce Young is the best quarterback, then pick Bryce Young. And I'm going to tell you what, Jalen Hurts played for Alabama, ended up going to Oklahoma, but he originally played for Alabama. Jalen Hurts is pretty damn good. Tua played for Alabama. Tua, he's not too bad. It's probably going to be a make or break season for him. As far as the Dolphins go, but somebody else will pick up Tua if the Dolphins don't. But I expect the Dolphins to probably be in the playoffs again this year, you know. And that's another thing. NFL, the reason they put all this pressure on winning early when a quarterback's young is because soon as you give them the big contract, you can't win because you can't put enough around them. You can't put enough around it. Only quarterbacks that are willing to take pay cuts are going to probably win Super Bowls. Tom Brady took it forever, and that's why he won so many. Patrick Mahomes is pretty much took a team-friendly deal with this $500 million 10 years because the price of quarterback is going to keep going up and up and up and up and up and up. You know? And he's gave stability to himself and his family and his franchise so they could still keep bringing people in, you know, keep rebuilding around him constantly because they're going to have to keep rebuilding around Patrick Mahomes probably every single year until they draft a wide receiver that would be like his go-to guy, number one wide receiver. Right now, they don't got a number one wide receiver. Their number one receiver is Travis Kelce, who's a tight end, you know. But, yeah, from Carolina, go with Bryce Young. Don't overthink this. We got to get this super athletic. We got to get the guy who runs the fastest or jumps the highest or looks like a big bodybuilder like Will Levis. No, let's just get the guy that – is either the best or potentially the best. Let's do that, Carolina Panthers. Let's just apply some common knowledge and common sense. Once again, I thank y'all for tuning in, Paul Pickett Podcast, and I'm out.